I'm sure she is. We got her on the line right now. Debbie Schutt, Behavior Intervention Coordinator for the Parent Network of Western New York. Debbie, thanks once again for joining us. Nice to talk to you again.
Hey, thanks for having me back again. And just to let you know, I just finished my first coffee, but it was my first pot of coffee.
Ah, okay. So are you a morning coffee drinker, or do you have like maybe an iced coffee throughout the day or a pot after dinner or something?
No, I pretty much stick to just the morning hours. I just drink a lot of it in the morning hours.
Yes, there you go. Welcome to the club, Debbie.
Very good.
Yeah, so Debbie, we've been curious, really. You've had two of these Zoom meetings now discussing helping children to become unafraid of wearing masks. So number one, how did the first two meetings go? And number two, what kind of response did you get?
So the meetings have been going very well. We've been getting pretty decent responses, a good mix of parents and professionals, and actually a lot of parents who are also professionals. So it's kind of they're getting double the goods there so that they can use some of the tips and strategies with their own kids, but then possibly also, you know, using the same tips and strategies for kids that they work with in their professional life.
Yeah.
Our second one was last night, and I didn't go over my allotted 2 hours of time, but it went pretty well.
Yeah, so, I mean, the core of it is getting kids comfortable with wearing their masks, in schools generally, but even just in everyday life, going to the store, maybe going with friends, you know, out with friends or something like that, or to the playground. So, you know, what are some of the details that you mentioned to people that are part of the meeting, like, what's the best way to make a child feel more comfortable with wearing a mask for like 8 to 10 hours a day while they're at school?
So we talk a lot about, you know, slowly and gradually exposing your kids to wearing a mask, maybe starting off just doing it inside the house or in their own yard where they feel a little more safe and comfortable, putting the mask on some like stuffed animals or toys and kind of doing little like role plays with them. Mm. And then for their first couple community outings wearing a mask, doing, you know, short periods of time and then slowly increasing those amounts of time. Yeah. And I like my alliterative phrases. So I say that parents need to model the mindset. So to have a positive attitude and demeanor about wearing masks, and also to make sure they're following the mask rules that they're asking their kids to follow, because even if we think that our kids aren't paying attention or picking up on some of the stuff going on around them, we really know that they are. And so if we can keep, you know, more positive attitude and follow our own rules, that's going to go, you know, a long way in making sure that kids are going to follow those rules too.
Yes, Debbie, with the crowd or audience that you've had during these Zoom meetings now, we know one was in the morning, one was last night, and you mentioned the participation of professionals. Do you find that with these folks, are they being helped by this because they're the ones that will be on the front lines in the schools, perhaps, or in the classroom?
Yes, I've gotten a lot of really good feedback from the participants that some of the tips and strategies and other discussion points that are being had during these Zoom meetings, that they're finding it helpful and giving some good ideas of things that they can try. I guess we won't really know until the school year starts and the kids do have to wear the mask for extended periods of time, and then we will be able to gauge the success of some of these strategies. Mm-hmm. But from my point of view, the behavior intervention piece, some of the strategies that we're talking about can be used for anything that you're trying to get your kid to comply with, whether it's a mask or a chore or, you know, taking their bath when you ask them to.
With the general population, we'll say, hopefully there has been a number of folks who have been learning. And again, you said that we really won't know until this thing goes into full effect. But what about the disabled child? Do you have disability-specific strategies?
Excuse me, yes. We absolutely do. We It's like a whole separate section of the little presentation that I do in terms of some of the strategies, depending on what kind of disabilities that we're talking about. Individuals with autism, for example, might have some sensory processing challenges, and so they might have an aversion to the way the mask feels on their face. So if there's a way to make it feel less uncomfortable, making sure that the mask fits appropriately, if it's like the elastic around their head or the ear loops that they don't like, you know, maybe using just pieces of string or something to tie it with instead of the elastic, because that can pull on your hair and stuff sometimes, and it can be a little uncomfortable. Letting kids pick out the kind of mask that they want based on what their comfort level is. And also for people who maybe have a physical disability that can't reach behind their head or behind their ears, I've found some ways, and I found some ways to make some accommodations to masks with like pieces of Velcro or magnets so that you don't have to be able to get both your arms behind your head to tie like a bandana. You can just Velcro it like where the straps meet the portion of the mask.
Yeah.
So there are a variety of strategies and accommodations for individuals with a variety of different types of disabilities.
On the line with us is Debbie Schutt, Behavior Intervention Coordinator for Parent Network of Western New York. And you can visit the website, parentnetworkwny.org. And Debbie, I wanted to bring up the website. All of the events, all of these Zoom meetings are listed on like an event calendar, and it kind of tells you a little bit about what they are. This isn't just, you know, mask wearing for kids and you're getting more comfortable with that, but you have other things too, you know, mental, stress therapy, mindfulness, and something going on tomorrow, actually, the 12th at 4 p.m., amazing therapy. Could you talk a little bit about your other Zoom meetings that you have for the parent network?
Yes, we have online events almost every day at this point. So the event that you're talking about that's at 4 o'clock it's called Let's Talk Amazing Therapy, and it's a panel with a speech therapist, an occupational therapist, and a physical therapist who work with school-age children. And that panel discussion is just going to be about how parents can get the most out of their child's therapy services, especially at this time where a lot of those therapy services are being provided virtually through Zoom or GoToMeeting or one of those type of online programs. We also have our support groups have gone completely virtual, so they're all online. So we have ones that are for Chautauqua County, Niagara County, Erie County, City of Buffalo, ones for people or parents and caregivers of developmental disabilities. Everything is on our calendar. Everything is completely free. So I would encourage people to really go click on the events tab on our website and check out some of those events, because there's a lot of stuff for a lot of different populations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the therapy event, the Amazing Therapy, that's at 4 p.m. today, and then tomorrow is actually the one related to mindfulness and managing stress. So I think this one's really important tomorrow as well at 7 o'clock. You know, if someone wants to learn how mindfulness can reduce stress and kind of foster positive attitudes, I think that's like a stepping stone to having a good atmosphere in the home to teach a kid about wearing a mask. Like, you need to feel good about it. You need to feel comfortable with it before you try to help someone else. Like, it's a whole atmosphere that needs to be built inside the home.
Absolutely. And with a lot of things going on in 2020, people have expressed increased stress levels. So if, you know, going online and working with us and just learning some tips and strategies to help with some of that stress reduction, if you can decrease your own frustration level, increase your tolerance for things, that is going to go a long way in the atmosphere and the mindset that you're modeling for your children in the home.
Debbie, it sounds like you folks have quite an inventory of resources for people through the website. And as you said, everything has turned virtual lately, so that's very convenient. I did want to stress the two remaining seminar dates and times for helping a child not to be afraid to wear a mask would be the 19th of August. That one's a morning time at 8:30 in the morning. And then on the 24th, yep. That is evening time at 6 p.m. About how long do the Zoom meetings last, you said?
They are scheduled for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So usually the first 5 to 10 minutes is making sure everybody has their technology working. And then depending on how many people we have, there's sufficient time for, you know, Q&A at the end so that if people have questions specific to their family, their child, or children that they work with, that they have the opportunity to ask those questions and hopefully get the answers that they're looking for.